And it's welcome to comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, each and every week at this time, broadcasting from central London, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why I need your telephone calls above all. If you give us your number, we'll call you back. But remember, if you get on the air, the volume on your television has to be at zero, or nobody will hear either of us. You can also email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. You can SMS me at the number coming up on the show throughout. Well, it's been another exciting and dramatic week in international relations. Bill Clinton, wow, what those two girls must have thought when they walked into that office in Pyongyang and discovered old Bill was there, the old ham. Well, he got the biscuits, he got the hostages out, and he did a good job, and we should salute him. But at the very same time, three other American tourists or journalists wandered over the border into Iran at this very tense time in international relations between the United States and Iran. Who would have thought it? Lots more going on around the world, and I want to hear from you about it. And above all, if you disagree with me, this is a comment show. This is a debate show. All views are welcome. None are suppressed. And we don't cut anybody off unless we can't hear you on the television. Let's go straight to the comment wall and take our first email of the evening. We want to see your name, want to see your country, your point of view up in lights here. This one from Rafael J. in Peru. My goodness, that's the first communication from Peru. Please explain to us what happened in Honduras last month. President Zelaya was a populist democratic leader against U.S. imperialism. The old Honduran leader invaded Iraq with Bush in 2003 and agreed to be subservient to Spanish military control. Am I wrong? No, Rafael, you're absolutely right. Throughout the whole of the subcontinent of Latin America, democratic and populist and progressive leaders have been coming to power, and some of the old guard don't like it. And President Zelaya was overthrown by a military coup, and nobody seems to be doing very much to put the elected president back in power. I wonder what's going on. So much for the sanctity of democracy and the democratic vote. Let's take another email on the comment wall. We want all kinds of views up here, remember, whether you agree or disagree. This one from London, Feridun. Thank you for your relentless fight against corrupt politicians. Can Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rice, Tony the Poodle now be considered as homicidal politicians for their crimes against humanity? Can it be argued that the European Union, Canada, Australia is also part of the Bush mob for supporting Israel's crimes against Gaza or war against the Iraqi, Afghani, Pakistani people, etc.? No, you're right. The Bush and Blair era was characterized by wars of aggression, which were said at the Nuremberg Tribunal to be the ultimate crimes. And these people should be facing justice. If they don't face it in this life, they'll certainly face it on the final day, as indeed we all will. But isn't it interesting if you see the kind of lineup against Iran that's beginning to emerge in propaganda terms, at least, and in terms of sanctions over these last few days and weeks? The white Anglo-Saxon countries and their former colonies are lining up to put the boot into Iran. China, Russia, India refusing to kowtow to the new line of thinly veiled aggression from Mrs. Clinton in her remarks during the week. There is a division in the world. There is an axis in the world. I wouldn't go so far as to describe it as evil, but it's an axis of aggression against the rights of sovereign people to determine their own affairs. Let's take another email on the comment wall. This one is from where? Pakistan, Said Ali Minhal. I wanted to share with you a recent activity against the Muslims, perhaps the supporters of Said Hassan Nasrallah, that last week a famous social networking website called Facebook deleted the group called Supporters of Said Hassan. Said Nasrallah, on receiving more than 100,000 requests from the Jewish community around the world, which was mobilized by a team of 15 given task by a former foreign minister of Israel, Avi Dichter. They wrote to the admin of Facebook, how can a terrorist be given a place on a social network, and that their families are hurt by this? Well, I wasn't aware of that, Said. That's interesting news. I've got to tell you that Syed Hassan Nasrallah has friends all over the world, and they don't need Facebook to express their friendship and admiration and respect for the Lebanese resistance leader, Syed Hassan Nasrallah. Let's hope the site's up and running without too much delay, however. Let's take an email again on the comment wall. Remember, I want your phone calls most of all, but emails and SMSs too. NK Ghani, I first saw you featured in Hard Talk on the BBC. You were tough, and I told myself this is impossible because your viewpoint mostly contradicted US and Western politicians, considering the fact you're a veteran Western politician too. I noticed you are mostly, if not mainly, focusing on the Arab-Israeli conflict. May I ask your personal comment? What do you think of the Moro struggle in the southern Philippines, though some historians or writers relate the root cause of the problem to the US and the British? I want to know what is yours. Well, actually, I have a long history with the people of the Philippines. I supported the democratic opposition in the long struggle against Ferdinand Marcos, the dictator of the Philippines, who was backed to the hilt by the United States governments of the time. He was able to loot the country of billions, if not more, in dollars, and sink it into the property markets and speculation on the stock markets of Western countries. And it's worth noting that the woman who brought him down at the head of a huge popular resistance and democratic movement, Mrs. Aquino, passed away this week, and her husband, Benigno Aquino, was assassinated by the dictatorship. As for the self-determination of the peoples of the islands of the Philippines, I'm in favor of the maximum autonomy to those islands, and especially where there are special ethnic or religious reasons for those people feeling that they are somehow not getting a fair share in the national federal government. But I am against the breakup of countries, and so I hope that the Philippines can retain its sovereignty and its independence, and above all, its unity. I'm for talk-talk, jaw-jaw, rather than war-war. But I want a jaw-jaw, talk-talk with the first caller of the night online now. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello? Yes.
Hello?
Yes, hello, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm calling from Nigeria.
From Honduras. Tell us what's happening there.
Hello, I'm calling from Nigeria.
Nigeria, I beg your pardon. Go ahead, sir.
I say, my name is Yasir.
Yes.
Hello, yeah, I want to ask a question.
Go ahead.
I want to confirm about the rumor. Hello?
Yes, please go ahead. You're on the air.
I want to confirm about the rumor that the September 11 attack that was carried out by Osama bin Laden, they say that they almost the Jews that are working there are absent.
Well, that's just an anti-Semitic lie, and we don't allow that kind of thing here on Press TV. There were a large number of Jews killed in the atrocity on 9/11. It's a complete fabrication, and if you've fallen for it, I advise you to fall out of that mindset just as quickly as possible. There were a significant number of Jews killed on 9/11, and there's no reason to believe that the attack was not carried out by the people who claimed that they had carried it out. Let's take an email on the comment wall. This one is from Australia, my goodness, Tony. Why the world has become so stupid to listen to American and British lies about what they're saying in relation to terrorism? What's the difference between American, British and Israeli killings of innocent Muslims around the world and Muslims committing suicide attacks to defend themselves? Well, some of the suicide attacks were not to defend themselves, but to kill and maim and destroy the lives of entirely innocent people. I give you the example of 7/7 in London, where atrocities were carried out on the underground and on the buses, and entirely innocent people who probably, statistically, almost certainly, in their overwhelming number, were in the 2 million people march in Britain against the aggression against Iraq. The so-called suicide attacks to which you refer are big crimes, are big sins. The difference between me and Tony Blair about them is I believe killing and maiming innocent people in London or in the Twin Towers in New York is just the same kind of sin and crime as killing and maiming innocent people in Baghdad, in Basra, in Afghanistan, or in Palestine, or in Lebanon. That's the only difference. But both of them are crimes, and both of them are sins. And there's much more coming up after this. I'm George Galloway, and I've argued with some of the most powerful people on the planet. From the US Senate on Capitol Hill, through British Prime Ministers, from Harold Wilson, through Margaret Thatcher, to Gordon Brown and Tony Blair. But now, I'd like to argue with you here on Press TV on Comment. You can ask me your questions. You can put your point of view. All you have to do is email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. I'll be here every week, and you can SMS me 0044 78 00 00 8066. You ask the questions, I give the answers. You make the arguments, I make the rebuttals. George Galloway, join me. You'll enjoy the debate, I promise. Now, you'll remember I told you that I want debate here. I want people with a different point of view. A couple of weeks ago, a gentleman called up. He said he needed more time to prepare. We've given him plenty of time to prepare, and he's on the line now, if I'm very lucky. Yes, hello. Hello, caller. Yes, hello.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Glasgow.
Very welcome, sir. Go ahead, please.
Well, just to introduce myself, my name is Matthew. I'm a Jewish lawyer from Glasgow, criminal lawyer.
Welcome.
I'm a Zionist, but, you know, the word Zionist is given negative connotations nowadays. I'm a Zionist in that I believe that the Jews have a right to have a homeland. I'm not an expansionist Zionist. I believe that Israel should return to its 67 borders. So, in the sense I'm a Zionist because I believe in the right of the Jews to have their own homeland, free from the threat of terror, free from attack.
Yes, go ahead, Matthew.
And also, I'm married to a Muslim, so I can never be accused by you of being a Zionist neocon, which seems to be your favorite phrase.
I would never accuse you of any such thing. I have no idea of your views. Go ahead and tell me them.
I was interested to see you attack the last caller for his anti-Semitic rant about the Jews being behind 9/11. But you, of course, support people who are anti-Semitic. You support terrorist groups like Hezbollah.
Go on, Matthew, please. I want you to have your say.
You're a great fan of Hezbollah. You're a great fan of Hassan Nasrallah. But, of course, Hezbollah did carry out an anti-Semitic attack, maybe in 1994, in Buenos Aires. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I have plenty to say about it, but first of all, I want to thank you for calling. I'm not sure that you've done the best with the 2 weeks that you've had to prepare, but I'm more than happy to engage with you. Matthew, I denounced the anti-Semitic rant as you described it, and that's what it was, as I do every week here. And if anyone calls my radio show, I do exactly the same. Because anti-Semitism is just racism, pure and simple. And I'm against all racism and have been all of my life. No anti-Semitic word or anti-Semitic thought has ever entered my brain, and I pray that it never shall do so. Now, I am a supporter of Hezbollah's right to defend the territorial integrity of Lebanon. It is the Lebanese National Resistance Movement, and it succeeded in driving the decades-long Israeli occupation of the south of Lebanon out of their country, and I salute them for that. Said Hassan Nasrallah is the leader of Hezbollah, and it goes without saying that I admire him as the leader of an organization that I admire. Hezbollah has never carried out anti-Semitic attacks. It did not attack anywhere in Buenos Aires. This is a canard, long ago disproven. The head of the Jewish community in Argentina itself has stated that Hezbollah did not carry out that anti-Semitic attack on a synagogue and a Jewish center in Buenos Aires. This statement that you've made is just false. Now, you've been preparing for 2 weeks, Matthew. Have you got anything better, anything more persuasive to say?
Yes, well, the Argentinian authorities have also been preparing the case against Hezbollah.
No, that's not true either. The Argentine government has stated explicitly that it does not consider that Hezbollah carried out that attack. Neither does the head of the Jewish community in Argentina. Now, please, move on to another issue. I'm sure you've got many.
I've got many, but you're wrong about the Argentinian authorities.
No, I'm not. Go ahead. Let's talk about your other gripes.
That Hezbollah was behind the attack. And I'll tell you something else, but I'm about to conclude, that the decision was made on the 14th of August 1993 in Mashhad, in Iran.
Now, that's not true either. Why would a decision be made in Mashhad in Iran to attack a synagogue in Buenos Aires? That's a conspiracy theory, the crazed conspiracy theory that you drew attention to at the beginning of your conversation.
Right, well, clearly this is another point I want to come on to, George.
Please.
You call this program a debate program.
Yeah.
But you stand there massaging your ego week in, week out.
Well, you watch me, so it must be very entertaining.
I watch you like a hawk.
Well, that's marvelous. That's what's called television. You watch it, and I appear on it. And I'm giving you prime time to make your points, and all you're doing now is insulting me. So why don't you make a more substantive point?
This is what you do, because everything I've watched, you seem to insult the caller, and you only ever let on people who agree with you.
Well, I'm not insulting you, and I've let you on, even though you said you'd need a week, and I gave you 2 weeks.
No, George, listen, you have never had a proper debate on this program.
Well, why don't you give me one now?
Listen to what I'm saying to you.
I'm listening. Give me some points I can argue with.
Why don't you invite on someone like Christopher Hitchens or Alan Dershowitz to debate you?
Well, have you seen the video of my debate with Christopher Hitchens?
Yes,
the butterfly who metamorphosed back into a slug. I've been prepared to debate with Christopher Hitchens.
Yes,
and Mr. Dershowitz has many media at his disposal, his beck and call. He's never off American television. He's on Fox News. Fox News is practically his own network. I'm debating with you. So why do you keep hiding behind other people? Why do you keep asking for more time? You're a lawyer. Can't you do better than this?
If you let me speak, I can do a lot better.
I'll let you speak. I'll shut up now, and I'll let you speak as long as you like.
The problem with you, George, is you're a very, very good speaker. You're very convincing. But very little of what you say is true. You spread half-truths, and you lie, and you support terrorist organizations who are not committed to peace in the Middle East, not committed to a Palestinian state. You're an enemy of the Palestinian people. Whilst you support Hamas and Hezbollah, who are not willing to make peace with Israel, people are speaking in the background in secret, trying to make peace with each other. For example, the Oslo Accords in the mid-90s. Whilst you were supporting terrorist organizations in the mid-90s, the Israelis and the Palestinians were getting together in secret.
Well, you see, you're talking through your hat, Matthew, because I'm a supporter of the Oslo Agreement. I was a lifelong friend of President Arafat who negotiated it and signed it.
And rejected it.
No. President Arafat's the man who signed it. He's the one who signed the Oslo Accords. And a fat lot of good it did him, Matthew. Because as you yourself said, that was in the mid-90s. This is now towards the end of the first decade of the 21st century. And not an inch of Palestine is free. The number of settlements is multiplying. The number of roadblocks is multiplying. The ethnic cleansing in Jerusalem is multiplying. So the Oslo Accords brought the Palestinians nothing. Well, if I were needing a criminal lawyer in Glasgow, and thank God I don't, I'm not sure I'd be hiring you, Matthew, because with 2 weeks to prepare, that was really rather a poor performance. But you're welcome to come back after the break, if the producers will allow you. But I've got to take a break now, because it's that time of the hour. This is George Galloway. This is Comment. This is Press TV. This is The Big Conversation. This is The Great Debate. Even people who hate me are watching me every week. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV each and every week at this time. We want your emails, comment@presstv.co.uk. We want your phone calls above all, 44208-601-4555, or you can SMS the show on 4478-00-8066. Now, before the break, we were having the argument with Matthew, who described himself as a Zionist lawyer in Glasgow. He's taken 2 weeks to prepare for his contribution to the debate. I thought it was only fair to invite him back, and the producers have agreed. He hates me so much, he watches the show every week. There's lots of people watch the show with different points of view, and we want to hear from all of them. We never suppress calls, and we always prioritize those calls that are from people who disagree with the line that I'm taking. Later, we'll be talking about the Iraq War inquiry, which is now underway, if it can be called that. Not much of an inquiry, hand-picked by the government, and its terms of reference drawn up by the government into whose actions it was actually investigating. But first, let's see which cartoons caught the eye of the Comment editor this week up here on the Comment wall. Let's see what we have from The Guardian. It's a soldier having a big job carrying the huge bulk of Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister, on his shoulders, marching through the bloodied terrain of Afghanistan, and Mr. Brown is clutching the budget. That's from The Guardian newspaper. I can't quite see the name of the cartoonist, but very, very powerful. Whether you'll be carrying Gordon Brown for much longer, of course, remains for the electorate to decide. The Chilcot inquiry, that's what we're talking about. Witness waiting area, and there's all the coffins with the Union Jack bedecking them, and all the skulls of all the fallen in the Iraq War. And there's Mr. Blair's demonic smile and those demonic eyes. He's going to give evidence. We don't know how much of it will be in public, how much of it will be in private, but it will not be under oath. And the inquiry has already been told that it's not expected to hold anyone personally to blame. Well, how can you be personally to blame for such a mountain of dead people? This one looks gory and graphic as well. I haven't yet worked out who or what this is, but it's some kind of corpse. And it's a pig. Welcome to the swine flu distraction hotline. Please hold, please hold, please hold. This from a cynic who thinks swine flu has been introduced by the government into debate as some kind of distraction. I doubt that myself, and it's not proving much of a distraction if that was its intention. It's really a serious problem, this swine flu. Okay, I took the unprecedented step of off my own back asking Matthew to come back onto the show in the second half. He's the self-declared Zionist supporter of the Oslo Agreement in Glasgow. Matthew, welcome back.
Thank you, George.
Go ahead, please.
Let me read something about the Argentinian attack, if I may.
Yes, of course.
Investigative report.
Sorry?
The investigative report issued by the Federal Prosecution Special Unit underlines the direct and multifaceted participation of the government of Iran and Hezbollah at the highest levels.
Whose report is that, Matthew?
According to the investigative report issued by the Federal Prosecutions Unit in Argentina.
No. The Argentine government has already stated that this attack was not carried out by Hezbollah, as has the head of the Jewish community in Argentina. But we really, how long are you going to fixate on this particular subject? After two weeks of preparation, you must have more strings to your bow than that discredited old saw. The government of Iran has more to do than plan attacks on a synagogue in Argentina. Believe me, it has bigger fish to fry.
It wasn't a synagogue, but listen, the investigative report of the prosecution unit in Argentina.
Which year
was the report?
Yes.
It's just being issued now.
It's not just being issued now. Yes. The Argentine government has absolved Hezbollah of the attack in Buenos Aires. I don't know how many times I'm going to repeat that.
The prosecution lawyers in Argentina haven't.
Well, the Argentine government has. Now, please, I beg you, you must have more to say than that.
Yes, I've got plenty to say, George.
Then go ahead.
I've got plenty to say.
Go ahead.
Your programs are not debates because you have your finger on the button.
My goodness, you've been on longer than any caller since the show began.
You're afraid to let me criticize Hezbollah and Iran.
No, I'm ready to debate Hezbollah anytime you like.
You're on an Iranian news program.
Matthew, you have been on this show longer than any caller in the history of the show. But you're not making the best use of it, I must tell you. You're repeating yourself. You're resorting to ad hominem personal insults and attack. Don't you have anything substantive to say?
This is my criticism of you, George. I've seen you debate, and you don't have anything substantive to say.
I'm not attacking you, Matthew. I have nothing to say against you personally. You're a guest on my show for an unprecedented length of time. So please make better use of it.
There is a great chance to have a two-state solution. There was a great chance for a two-state solution in the mid-90s, whereby Arab East Jerusalem was on offer. And your friend, Yasser Arafat, who today the satire blaming Israel for his death, your friend Yasser Arafat, at the very last minute, to the astonishment of Bill Clinton, rejected the Oslo Accords and went back to...
Matthew, because you're a lawyer, I have to assume that you're an intelligent and educated man. What you've just stated there is an absolute falsehood. Mr. Rabin signed the Oslo Agreement with Yasser Arafat on the White House lawn, and I supported it, by the way. Mr. Rabin was then assassinated by an ultra-Zionist zealot. And ever since, Israel has refused to implement a single square inch of the Oslo Agreement. What you're referring to is the canard much later, many years later, when you say, to the astonishment of Bill Clinton, Ehud Barak was in discussions at Camp David with President Arafat, and it's precisely because East Jerusalem was not offered that President Arafat had to fail to agree. And Taba and elsewhere, they've been trying to square that circle ever since. The reality is this. In the mid-1990s, 94 to be precise, Israel signed an Oslo Agreement for a peace process which has been all process and no peace. Palestine is still occupied and besieged. The settlements of the Zionists, like you, Zionists who think they have a right to settle other people's land, I appreciate you support a withdrawal to 67 borders, but the settlements that have been built in the West Bank and around Jerusalem and the ethnic cleansing condemned by the international community just this week are continuing apace. Gaza was reduced to rubble and ash. And you want to talk about an attack in Buenos Aires nearly 15 years ago. In fact, more than 15 years ago. You want to blame Iran sitting in Mashhad, planning an attack on a Jewish building in Buenos Aires. This is conspiracy theory in its crystallized form. It's just that it's coming this time from a Zionist source, whereas oftentimes it comes from Muslim sources. And it's just the same. It's all hokey pokey. Let's take an email on the comment wall. I've had enough, I think, of Matthew, and so probably have you. This is from Leeds Murphy Ellis. My question for your topic this half is, if Britain really went to Iraq for oil, wouldn't Britain's economy be buzzing right now? Why has the petrol gone up so much? Wouldn't it have gone down instead? Where are the benefits, George? Well, I never said that it went to Iraq for oil. Britain went to Iraq because the Americans went to Iraq. The Americans went to Iraq for three reasons. First, for oil, and to secure a never-ending privatized source of energy from Iraq, which had been denied to it by an independent Iraq, which nationalized the oil and, at least for a time, distributed the wealth amongst the people before it got involved in the crazed attack on Iran in 1980, after which everything went downhill. It went to Iraq for oil. It went to Iraq for Israel, because Israel was determined that the last remaining Arab power with any potential to be a counterbalance to Israeli military power should be broken, and preferably broken up, and that has been largely achieved. And America went to Iraq for a third reason, the most important reason of all, to terrify the world with the awesome military power of the United States. The reason that has not happened is because the people of Iraq resisted it, and are resisting it until this day. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir, where are you?
Brian's my name, calling from Ireland.
Welcome, Brian, go ahead.
How are you keeping?
Very well, thanks.
Good. George, I just want to ask you about, you know, we're coming up to about the Lisbon Treaty, basically, and here in Ireland we got a vote again for the second time. We voted no the last time, and it was a pretty resounding majority, and we've been more or less told to do it again. I voted no the last time, and I'm kind of worried that people in Ireland now will vote yes because the economy is in such a bad way, and also that if we vote no, that we could be isolated from Europe, and I just wanted to get your views on that. And
well, thanks, Brian. That's what they call democracy. You are forced to vote for a second time, having voted overwhelmingly no the first time. We in Britain, despite the government party's promise that we would be able to vote on the European Constitution, have been denied a vote entirely. I think you should vote no on the European Constitution, because that's what the Lisbon Treaty is. And if you needed any convincing single reason, it must be the prospect that the first president of the European Union will be Tony Blair, and the first foreign minister of the European Union will be the old Thatcher scribe, Chris Patten. I think both those reasons are convincing reasons in themselves for voting no when the second vote comes around in Ireland. There are hundreds of other reasons for not doing so, and I don't believe that the economy in the Irish Republic should be a reason for delivering the people of the Irish Republic into a neocon, neoliberal future for the people of that great Emerald Isle. There's much more coming up after this. I'll be bringing you a program called Comment. It's the big conversation, it's the great debate. Looking for your telephone calls, your emails, your SMSs. Make sure your email, your SMS, and above all, your telephone call gets through to me. Join me every week. Comment. Press TV. Broadcasting live from central London. You'll enjoy the debate, and that's a promise. This is George Galloway. This is Comment. Now, we're discussing the Iraq War Inquiry, which is now underway. At least we hope to. We had someone on the text earlier expressing his own personal view that Mr. Blair and Mr. Bush were guilty of homicide. Of course, that requires mens rea, which is a legal term for intent. And I suppose we must await any war crimes tribunal, if there ever is one, before establishing whether that's true or not. That was the emailer's personal point of view. What's your personal point of view? We want your calls, we want your SMS, and we want your emails. And we've got an email up on the comment wall now. And this one is from the United States, Utah, Seth Reeson. Good afternoon, Mr. Galloway. Oh dear, the Iraq story again. Why won't you drop it? Our Marines fight day and night to keep the posh British like you safe. Do you have a problem with self-defense? I guess you would have probably aired your views in Hyde Park Corner in 1939 to oppose the British fighting the Germans. Well, Seth, first of all, defense is spelt with a C, not an S. In 1939, I would have been the first person at the recruiting office to join up in the fight against Hitler. Indeed, I would already have been a veteran of the Spanish Civil War, which is where fascism should have been confronted. if the gutless democracies of France and Britain had had the wisdom and the courage to do so. So don't wrap me up with appeasement. I ain't no appeaser. Neither am I any kind of pacifist. And I don't need the US Marines to defend me. And neither did the British people when we stood alone against Hitler, who was at the Channel ports when the Americans were watching the Second World War on Israel. But thanks for watching out there in Utah. Anyway, let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, where are you, sir?
My name is Muhammad Amin, and I'm calling you from Kenya, the capital city of Kenya, Nairobi.
You're very welcome, sir.
My question is this. First of all, really, it is very good for me to have some words with you. And secondly, don't you fear for yourself by criticizing the Zionists and Israeli like that? The third question is this. If you are aware about what's happening in the region of Ogaden, whereby Ethiopian governments are depriving, killing, torturing, and raping the women in the region of Ogaden, lying between Somalia and Ethiopia.
I am, as it happens, well-traveled in Ethiopia and in Eritrea. On your first point, I believe in God, and God decides who stays and who goes, and I place my fate in the hands of God. I'm not afraid of anyone except God. Secondly, the Ethiopian government is regularly criticized by me here on this show and elsewhere. It is little more than an auxiliary of imperialism in the world. It's a heavily militarized state, one of the most militarized on the earth, and at the same time as its children are dying of famine in the highlands, it's increasing its military expenditure to make war against its neighbor, to sow sedition and civil war in neighboring countries, and to suppress ethnic minorities like those in the Ogaden region of Ethiopia. So you're probably in exile in Kenya. You have my sympathies, all those living under the iron heel of the Ethiopian militarized state have my sympathy and my respect. Thanks very much for your call. Let's take another call. Another caller now. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bournemouth.
You're welcome.
But I'm ringing with regards to my concern that we no longer have any democracy in this country. It's totally destroyed and will even be destroyed more when we go into the EU. We could already see it booming within our police force. Our police force is no longer what it used to be. It is now, we are under the control of the common purpose and Freemasonry, a dictatorship in the police force. We are also, it is destroying the central core of our society. The NHS is no longer the National Health Service. It is the National Pharmaceutical Service. We are being, as with the swine flu and many other vaccinations on our children, we are deeply concerned. And when any of these children die, the limitations on post-mortem by deleting toxicology and forensic pathology brings out the statement, the child has died of natural causes. How can we have a balance within treatments for our children when we got fraudulent post-mortems, we got fraudulent coroner's inquest, and as we see in the David Kelly, it's the same there.
Well, I'll have to stop you before this conspiracy theory gets even more convoluted. There is much that's wrong with this country, but it's neither the fault of Freemasonry nor the European Union. And we're already in the European Union and have been for more than 30 years, and we'd be in a very bad state if we were not. In fact, it's my opinion that we ought to be much more of a European country rather than the 51st state of the United States of America. Still less, as I suspect that you may feel, that we go it alone as a small island stuck in the North Sea off the mainland of Europe. Freemasonry, I'm second to none in my distaste for it, but to imbue it with the powers to do all these things that you have described would simply be wrong. As for David Kelly, I have said on television and on radio and in print many times, as has my parliamentary colleague Norman Baker, who wrote a very fine book on it, that I simply do not believe that Dr. David Kelly committed suicide in the manner that was described. And there are many questions about inquests and the like, but I don't think that you should attribute those problems to Freemasonry, because it's just not right. Let's take another telephone call. Yes, hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, hello, sir. Where are you?
George, my name is Ralph. I'm calling from Reading in Berkshire.
You're welcome, sir.
George, first, I would like to express just my views and my my feelings towards you, that may the Lord protect you and preserve you and expand you and really increase you.
Thank you, sir.
Because you are a very rare voice of the underprivileged and the oppressed.
Thank you, sir.
What I wanted to say really was that while you were having this debate with Matthew, particularly, which so rightly you pointed out about him referring to something that goes back 15 years and such a minor incident in proportion to the mass killing and you know, all the other atrocities that are being committed day in, day out in Jerusalem and in Palestine and all the other adjoining areas. There is a report that came out day before yesterday. Obviously, you were so engaged with him at that time, which was so poignant, that this charity of children's rights in Switzerland that gave a report out yesterday. Now, this is a particularly Western-based organization and has some United Nations links as well, that has condemned Israel, and there were a couple of Israeli generals who have given evidence in it, that they deliberately torture children that they arrest, who's stone-throwing children in the occupied West Bank and all these areas. And this is, in this day and age, I mean, there was also some there was a clip, actually, I saw yesterday where they showed how they were torturing these young kids under the age of 7 and 8. They're traumatized for the rest of their lives.
Well, I didn't see that report, so I can't vouch for it, but I will make a point of reading it. Israel has been condemned many times for torture in the past by many international fora and many international inquiries, but the allegation that they've tortured children under the age of 7 is an extreme one, and I would require, I'm afraid, to investigate that further before I could make any supportive comment of what you have said. But I'm very grateful indeed for your kind remarks. It's obvious that there are people watching Press TV who wish us ill, but we, as a station, want to be the voice of the voiceless. I'm part of that, and I'm very proud to be so. I don't speak for the station, I certainly don't speak for the government of Iran, and neither of them speak for me. But I do tell the truth as I see it. I would never tell a lie. I would never suppress something that I felt inside. Let's take a quick email before we finish. This one is from Austin, Texas. Lies, George. You know it, though you probably won't put my email up because it's too opposed to the Islamic Republic. You're against military involvement, not because of the good of the people, but because Iran wants to ridicule my great country. Yeah, we get things wrong, but we are the future, whereas Iran is the past. And what you can't answer is this. How has Bush benefited from the Iraq war? Go ahead. You can't say anything. Well, the first thing, Nigel, is I'm really glad you're watching us in Austin, Texas. I'm sorry if we got under your skin. George W. Bush is the worst president the United States ever had, and that's a view shared by the great majority of people in the United States itself, even, I suspect, in the great state of Texas, as you'll find in the forthcoming elections there. George Bush and his corporate pals benefited to the trillion by the invasion of Iraq. The arms manufacturers, the oil producers and distributors, and the security firms, and many, many others. I've hardly any time left, just time to say it's been marvelous, and good night, and God bless.